Numbers chapter 31, verse 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. Did anybody catch the shift in the avenging here? God said to Moses, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Moses says, Arm yourselves for the war so that we can avenge the Lord of Midian.
That's right.
Our thought this morning is the avenging of sin.
Yeah.
The avenging of sin. Yeah. The Lord spake unto Moses, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm yourselves, some of yourselves unto the war. Let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. In other words, God's battle is our battle.
That's right.
What needs avenging on God's behalf needs to be avenged on our behalf.
That's right.
Avenge meaning to punish, to revenge, to take vengeance against that has come against us. That has come against God. God spoke of avenging the children of Israel, Moses of avenging the Lord. Why? Because a dishonor had been done to God and an injury inflicted on His people. Who brought this dishonor? Who brought this injury upon the people of God? It was the Midianites.
That's right.
In communion with the Moabites.
Right.
You see, Israel was traveling on their journey that God had put them on, coming out of bondage into a marvelous, beautiful, wonderful place that God had in sight for them, the land of Canaan. And all along, as we look at this morning, we must consider our own selves that we've been brought out of the bondage of sin. We've been brought out of the servitude of sin if you're saved this morning. If you're saved this morning. How many of you guys remember Papa Morgan in the prison house? When I'd be preaching, I'd lean on that kind of statement a lot. Raise your hand. You remember why I would lean on it? Because everybody that says they're saved has not quite made it into the kingdom. Some folks have felt good about themselves, but they ain't got in the kingdom. Some folks have felt the glory of God all over them, but they still have not broken free from sin. But for those who, and just because you're in church, and just because you're at the refuge of hope, doesn't mean you've embraced that hope. We've come out of Egypt, out of the servitude of Satan, and we're on our way. It happens to be on their way. Israel has an enemy and a king of Moab who joins up with the Midianites, says, we got to do something about that crowd that's coming. They're covering the face of the earth. They're everywhere. What a mighty fortress, what a mighty army those Israelites are. What a mighty fortress is created in the children of God. We might be one in a corner sometimes, but we're a fortress with God. And the devil says something's got to be done. And so the king of Moab is trying to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam says, well, whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'll do. And God says, you're not going to curse my people. And Balaam tells the king, Whom God curses, I'm going to curse. Can't do it. Kept on at him, and finally the donkey had to talk to him. And somebody said, that ain't possible. You call Balaam up from the dead and ask him, can a mule talk? And nevertheless, he wasn't able to curse Israel. But what Balaam did, he went down and he taught Israel how to intermingle with the Midianites and the Moabites. He counseled them to come in there and begin to fellowship with their women. And their women fellowship with their men. Somebody said, I got this sweet little girl I'm going to hook up with after a while when I get out of prison.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And, well, she's not a Christian. Well, that's all right. I'm going to win her to the Lord. I said, hide and watch and see what happens.
Come on.
You need to be focused upon Jesus.
Yeah.
So Balaam went down and taught them how to intermingle and fellowship with who? The Midianites. The Midianites were idolaters, meaning they worshiped idols. Their god could be held in their hand. Their god, part of their god, could be made out of a piece of wood. And they could light a fire with the rest of that wood and cook a meal on it. That's how cheap their god was. That's how cheap that they served wood. But they taught Israel to turn their back on God and go a whoring after the gods of the Midianites and the Moabites. Can I tell you, do you know how God felt? Check up your thoughts. Come on here, everybody, get with me. Let me introduce you to something. Come on in here. Don't let your thoughts leave right now.
Come on.
When your attention span runs out on the first 5 minutes, perk up, regroup, get ready for another 5. They were idolaters. They seem to have been the principal instigators of the infamous scheme of seduction planned to entrap the Israelites into the double crime of idolatry and licentiousness. In other words, filthiness.
Yeah.
Ungodly sexual sin.
That's right.
That they had begun to partake in. God says to Moses, He says, I want you to avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. I want them avenged of what sin has done to them.
Yeah.
Do you love God this morning?
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you hate sin?
Oh, yeah.
Have you come to that place in your relationship with God until you hate sin? It's not enough to love God. But you must hate sin. If you hate sin, listen to me. You can begin to build this thought in your own thoughts this morning and start tracing out your own paths of where you're lenient towards sin. If you hate sin, you hate that is attached to sin. Thank God the sister brought it up before I did so I could pick it up and run with it. She said, sin. And so God says there's time for an avenging. We've come to this point in our lives. We've come to the point this morning. Come on here. We've got to get real. Life is greater than just getting out of the prison house. We've got to be real. Listen carefully as we walk through this chapter. As I said, you may be some things you cannot quite understand why God would kill even innocent babies. Yeah. But the point of interest is God hates sin.
Yes, He does.
And it must be avenged in our lives.
Yes.
God's battle become Moses' battle.
That's right.
Moses picked up on that real quick when he heard the voice of God. Avenge me. Avenge Israel of the Midianites. Moses picked up on that. If it's against us, it's against God. Because we are His chosen people. I've got to realize who I am. I've been washed by the blood. I must come against the enemy's every device and every tactic and avenge with fight inside of my heart. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. So Moses says to arm yourselves. Of every tribe, 1,000. And out of all the tribes of Israel, say you send to war. Notice first, God didn't say get every one of them together. He just says out of every tribe, 1,000. 12,000 soldiers to fight this war. But He knew, this is not my battle that I instigated. It's a battle that God has instigated. The battle that we're dealing with this morning in our personal lives is a battle that God has instigated.
instigated. It's a war that God has started for the sake of your and my soul, for the sake of our living soul this morning. God says you are going to have to avenge yourself of the Midianite, of the sin, of the ungodly nature that's all around us. We're going to have to make God's battle our battle. Therefore, we can have victory. And so, what he's saying is, look, you don't have to exhaust all your energy because God is going to be fighting. But God wants to know you're coming in this battle. He didn't say, y'all sit by a while and watch while I do it. But he said, you get your best. When he said just 1,000, I'm believing he meant get the best that you got. Give your best in this warfare. If I'd ask a question this morning, I don't want you to raise your hands right now. Y'all know that Brother Morgan's pretty stiff and hard. But I want to be right before I leave. But if I ask a question this morning, how many has really gave your best for God and for walking in the new paths of righteousness and life? I'd be afraid everybody couldn't raise your hand if you'd raise it in all 100% honesty.
Come on.
Because when you said you've done your best, you've said a mouthful.
That's right.
You've spoken a great mouthful.
Yeah.
Of every tribe, so they were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe. Verse number 6, Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe. Them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest to the war, with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in the land. They go forth with the things of God.
Yeah.
They go forth with the holy instruments. They go forth with those items they use for worship.
Yeah.
And the priest is right there among them. The trumpet's sounding. Time to praise. Time to fight. Time to stop. All the instructions. They're not going to battle without instruction.
Amen.
Don't try to fight the devil without having an ear of hearing instructions that you're given. We've been given good instructions this morning in Sunday school about our thoughts. Don't try to fight the battle without the instruction. The trumpets win. Here's what happened. It looks like a very bloody, gory, unthoughtful war. And in verse 7, they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded, and they slew all the males. They killed all the males. Here's the reason. Those whom the wickedness of that sin abode in. Thank the Lord we're living under grace.
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
Me and you. You and I. Us. We're living because we're under grace. Had we not been under grace, we might all be in hell.
Amen.
Right now. But we're thankful for the grace of God. They slew all the males. That wickedness abode in. God said, we've got to get this sin off the land.
That's right.
Avenging, being avenged of their sin. Every act of sin must be done away with. That man of sin must be crucified. That man of sin, that old man must be crucified with his affections, on that cross. In verse number 8, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rekem, and Zer, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. And guess who else got their killing? Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword.
Yes,
they did. The prophet Balaam. Well, he didn't curse Israel. Why did they kill him? He taught Israel to sin. He was the bridge that joined Israel to the idolatrous nation. So I want to picture in my mind one of those Israelites. See, already a multitude of the Israelites had been killed with a plague that come upon them prior to this because of that sin. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, I believe it was, saw an Israelite man with a Midianitish woman, and they went running, and they were in that tent together. A mixture, a communion that was against the plan of God. An idolatrous woman with a child of God, and Phinehas come with a javelin, and he ran that javelin through the both of them, and by that act of heroism, he stopped that plague that God had sent among them for their union with evil.
Yeah. Amen.
Balaam was the bridge that they walked across to get into that idolatrous sin.
That's right.
That bridge that you and I walked across when we entered into sin, when we first got acquainted with sin, regardless of what it was, that bridge that we come across to get into that lifestyle of sin, that bridge must be torn down.
Yeah.
evil, God said, I've got to be avenged.
Yes.
100%.
Come on.
Avenged.
Yes, God.
It gets harder to understand for the natural man. In verse number 9, the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle and their flocks and their goods. They got good payment. They got good payment in natural things. In verse 10, and they burnt all their cities wherein they dwell, and all their goodly castles with fire. Reminds me of the time in the book of Acts, I believe it is, where they brought all their curious arts. And they brought all their past instruments of pleasures and ungodliness, and they piled them up. And they burnt them.
Yes.
Y'all ever have a bonfire around here where you can gather up a few things and somewhere or another slip through the cracks and you still got them?
Mm-hmm.
But you know you need to get rid of them.
Come on.
Oh, listen. What year was it? I don't remember. John Lennon of the Beatles made a public statement that the Beatles have become more popular than Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Old timers remember that?
Yes, I do.
And what did they do? It's a paradox. Folks that had the ungodliness enough to buy their records started burning their records.
That's right.
I can't believe they really had a relationship with God that wouldn't have bought them to start with. But they had enough of fear of God in them that when they heard such a statement, they said, we're going to burn this stuff. So what I'm figuring on this morning, you folks that don't really know God can get an offense about somebody speaking against God. Where are we going to stand who know God and understand what takes an offense against God?
That's right.
Oh, they burnt all their cities and their goodly castles. They took and burnt everything that existed about those Midianites because God said, to avenge me. Moses said, avenge Israel. And Moses said, that's for God too. Amen. Those things in our lives, we may not be physical, tangible things, but there's some things in our lives. It comes a time, and now is the time. It even is right now. Those things need to be burned. Done away with it. It's a part of the avenging of sin. Number 11, and they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beast. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the count. Get a picture of this. They went to avenge the Lord. They went to avenge Israel of the Midianites, of that source of sin that had utterly, nearly destroyed God's chosen people. You think that will come all of this to Moses and Eleazar and all of the congregation, and they will embrace us and hug us, and you've done great.
Oh my.
And that's exactly where we've come to in a point in our relationship with God. We've come to a point where right now we feel good.
Come on now.
But don't forget about tomorrow.
Right
now, I feel good. Right now is the feeling you got when you walk past a razor wire. And forgive me for keep alluding to this, but this is reality.
That's right.
I'm not preaching to the first church down on the corner.
Come on.
I'm preaching to beloved folks that my wife and I love. And it's such a thrill to see you without the white uniforms.
Come on.
Oh, it's so good to have you in church with us. And not have to, well, we got to get through, we got to be counted. Not have an officer standing in the back wondering what's he going to do next.
Come on now.
But I see you. I see smiles. I see blank looks. I see curious looks.
That's right.
Come on. But I see you. And you're free. You might say, well, I'm not free yet, I'm not home. You're much freer than you've ever been for a while. And I'm so glad to see you. So glad to see you where you're at. But we've come to the place where we step out of the razor wire.
Come on.
I'm free. And you fail to think spiritually beyond that point.
Yeah.
Your mind begins to shift to natural things. Yeah. Got to get a job.
Come on, bro.
Good thought, because there's no place in God's economy for laziness.
That's right.
On the job or at home.
That's right.
And you must have that thought, but you never should forget the former love that you found and the hand that reached further down. Then you could reach out and pull you out.
Thank you.
And so they avenged, so they say, the Lord in Israel, a million. They killed all the males. They captured the women. And all the children are in that captivity. They burnt their cities. Here we are. We've done it. But Moses gets angry because he would say to them, you forgot about tomorrow. You forgot about tomorrow. Aren't you thinking about tomorrow? It's like the family that all had light bill, water bill, house note or rent, and all of a sudden it's due. Just barely have enough in the paycheck to pay those bills. Whew. Thank God. Did somebody come by and say, Lord, lay on my heart to give you a blessing. And to give you $1,000. Well, that's what it took to pay our bills. And so the next day, man alive, let's go eat us a steak. I don't know, honey, how much it costs. Don't matter. We got $1,000. You remember that? This or that that you've been wanting that we really didn't need and couldn't get it, but you've been wanting it. Yeah, darling. We're going to get it. Well, how much that don't matter? We got $1,000. Y'all looking at me now. And all of a sudden, the $1,000 gone.
Yep.
And you look around and there's nothing to show for it.
Right.
Come on.
Fact, what you bought was some unnecessity that's 3 weeks later is out in the yard and it's raining on it.
Right.
And it's rusty. And all of a sudden you get laid off for a few days because of the rain.
Uh-huh.
And you can't work. And here it comes again.
Come on.
The bills are due again.
Right.
Light bill, water bill, house note. What are we going to do? Maybe the Lord will bless us again. No. That's the reason He blessed you, because God knew you're fixing to lose some work. You should have thought about tomorrow. That's some of our greatest weaknesses in the Christian realm. We forget about tomorrow. Lord bless me today. We forget about tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, if we've not dealt with what might come tomorrow today, what comes tomorrow will swallow us up.
Yeah.
The command is to avenge Israel and God of Midian. The leader is filled with wrath because of the incomplete vengeance. They did not think about the future sources of sin. Verse number 17 looks horrible,
But in the sight of sin, God's looking out for the future. Because you see, these Midianites are encrusted in idolatry. Their lives are infiltrated, filled with hatred toward Jehovah God. And therefore, in their children is that seed of hatred, that seed of idolatry. That's the reason, to begin with, they killed all the males, the source of production of a sinful, ungodly nation. That's the reason it's so important, if you have children, that they learn how to pray before you teach them how to shoot a bow and arrow. They learn how to play before you teach them how to swing a baseball bat. You teach them how to pray before you teach them how to carve a piece of wood and any other things that daddies teach boys and mothers teach daughters. Verse 17, Moses commanded. Let me read verse 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. There was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. I told you about that. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, because that seed of sin is in those male boys. It must be done away with. That seed of sin that is in those thoughts that you let linger.
Come on.
Those imaginations of things you used to do. The man that brags on what he used to be in a boastful manner, I'm scared of his relationship.
Amen.
I'm ashamed of the man I used to be.
Amen.
I'm ashamed of some words I used to say. I'm ashamed of some places I used to go. The story's told of several pastors together. One says, you know, if I had come to Christ, I'd own this big dealership of cars, and I'd be a rich man right now. The other said, well, if I had come to Christ, I'd be running this casino over there and really doing good. They looked at the other preacher and said, well, what would you be if you hadn't got saved? He said, sirs, I'd be in hell or on my way to hell if I hadn't been saved. What I used to do is not important. Kill all the male little ones. Get rid of that source that will produce seed in the future.
Yes,
you understand that?
Amen.
Has it been plain enough you understand that?
Amen.
God's not telling to kill people today. We're talking about spirits.
That's right.
We're talking about desires. We're talking about wants. We're talking about unfinished business in our personal relationship with God.
Amen.
Unfinished business. And on in the rest of that scripture, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. In other words, these women spend with these men that have that corrupt nature. If they're not killed, they're going to have babies that's going to further this sin among our people. It must be destroyed. Those thoughts that we dealt with in Sunday school, when they first come to your mind, it's like a child. It's got to be done away with before it matures. Because if it matures, it will get with other thoughts and bear more children of ungodly thoughts.
understand that.
Yeah.
Full vengeance. Full avenging upon sin. It's a simple matter of giving myself away. A simple matter of giving myself away. Would you stand?
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I give myself away. Can it be to you this morning more than a song? There's a Mennonite on your property. Each and every one of us is a plot of land. Some of us in this house, there's still some Mennonites. It may be the full grown Mennonites. Got to get rid of them. It may be just a little one, but if he's not done away with, he's going to produce seed when he matures, and it's going to grow. My wife has counseled men in the prisons about when they get out to be careful, because if drugs was your problem and you're determined no more drugs, the devil knows that. He'll put something else in your path.
That's right.
Until the entire count of Midian, as it's used in this text this morning, until the entire count is done away with, there's going to be something cropping up, giving you trouble. So the reason Moses got angry was because they didn't complete the avengers. He had to tell them. So I've come to tell you. You've done away with the things that have come to maturity in your life. You saw what it was. You come to a place of prayer. You got rid of those things that come to maturity in your walk, in your life. That was destroyed. Can I get a hand of witness?
Yeah.
You got rid of those things that had come to maturity. But there's some little ones that if you don't get those destroyed, they're going to forgive me for being little plain, but they're going to mate. They're going to have relationships with thoughts and things in your life until they produce another generation of Midianites in your life. And behold, the revolving door I wish didn't exist. But it don't have to be. When your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I want to ask you, has the Lord dealt with your heart this morning? Has the Lord tugged on your heart just a little bit this morning? I believe the Lord brought this message to my heart for your heart. I believe He did. What are you going to do with it? She begins to sing the song, I give myself away. I want you to move as the Spirit of the Lord deals with you to this altar this morning. With a cry that avails. Don't be ashamed to open your mouth and cry to God. I need all obedience destroyed out of my life. Even the little things that I sense will produce big things after a while.